Speaking of good shows, welcome to the Red Phone Zone. This is issue number 50. It's going to be our Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthaw Spectacular. I am Aaron.
I am Ethan.
And I'm John.
Hey, yeah, I guess we don't need any introductions with John.
He's been on enough that he knows the beats now.
He's been on more than Shay almost. He's been on quite a bit. But yeah.
Intellectually, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, good God. I mean, Poops.
Physically, no. Intellectually, yes.
I mean, Bella's been on the show more intellectually than
that is true.
Shay. But yeah, this is a weekly podcast where we talk about all kinds of stuff. Lately, we've just been talking movie genres, things like that. We used to talk comic books and role-playing games and video games and stuff like that. We broke all that up, turned it into the Nerdvana Network, a podcast network where you get to just go and listen to your favorite, I don't know, geekdom sector thingy bobber.
How is the site coming along?
It's coming.
It's sort of there.
I'm going to delete it as soon as that class is over.
Yeah.
Because I don't like what they're making me do.
Just let me know when you need me to install like WordPress or Joomla or whatever the heck you want to use.
I've been messing around with it. But the site's up, but I'm totally going to delete it as soon as my class is over because I just don't like what they're making me do with it.
Cool.
But Nerdvana Network, where you just get to listen to whatever kind of geekdom that you want. So, you know, just if you want to hear Ethan's lovely voice, you don't have to sit through comic book stuff if you don't want to. So run on over to Gamers Haven Podcast, and you can listen to role-playing game stuff. But what we're doing tonight is we're going to break away from that, where we're going to be doing our, this be our fourth or fifth Ruthaw show? Fourth. It'll be our fourth Ruthaw show. What we've been doing since issue number 10 is we have what we call the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthaws. It's basically the Red Phone Zone Hall of Fame, where what we do is we pick pick nominees, put them on the site, and we just have people vote for them to see who's going to become the newest member of the Zone of Ruthaws, in which so far we have Sir Christopher fucking Lee, Bruce fucking Campbell, Clint fucking Eastwood, Stan the fucking Man Lee, and then our dubious tie of Kurt the fucking Muscle Russell Brussels, whatever the hell his name is.
Kurt the fucking Muscles Russell from Brussels.
Or something like
who
that.
Who eats muscles.
But Kurt fucking Russell. And Liam fucking Neeson.
And Liam fucking Neeson, yeah.
So tonight we have four nominees. This time around we have Jeffrey Rush. We have Joss Whedon, John Goodman, and Sir Sean Connery. So what we're going to do tonight, instead of talking up a movie genre or something like that, is we're just going to go over each of these people and talk about them and why they're awesome. And at the end of the show, we are going to name who the newest member of the Zone of Ruthaws is. But before we do any of that, we do have a little segment we like to call Geekly Happenings. It's when we talk about the news. It's relevant to us geeks. Open it up, Ethan. What's awesome?
Well, mostly
going on?
I talk about news
and I react.
And you go, yeah, I read some of
that. I read something about that.
Because I actively go out and try to find this stuff.
No, I try to find it, too.
We mentioned on, it might have been last episode or episode before that, that they were talking, there was a rumor going around that Feora is going to be in the Superman reboot.
Yeah.
Well, the new rumor going around is Aunt J. Trow is to be Feora, is to be cast as Feora. She's a German actress who appeared in 2009's Pandorum.
Yeah.
And is the latest name to join the cast of Man of Steel. Variety is reporting that she's been cast as Feora in the Superman reboot, but
there's no official word.
There's no official confirmation. Although it's from Variety, which is a bit more of a legitimate source than most things that we see.
Yeah, it wasn't like alpharedphonezone.com or something like that.
And so, yeah, there's that. I mean, that's the only Superman movie news that I saw this week that
Superman
I can
movie?
Remember.
And she's got a great look for it.
I didn't like Pandorum at all, but I thought she was really, really nice in it.
Hey, there's
really
a woman,
pretty.
Too. See?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
You going to work?
Chartreuse.
Did I tell him to shut his mouth? Did I say that? I thought I said, are you going to work?
Ow! Every damn time.
Yeah, Superman movie news. I think that's the only thing I saw. Only other thing is...
I got a bunch of movie news. If
Superman
you guys want
movie
me to
news?
Throw some of my stuff out there.
Throw it out.
How about the Avengers script being leaked and is up for sale right now?
Well, I mean, duh. I mean, I had to do something with it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm a poor college student. I mean, what do you expect me to do? But I didn't see that. Where's it at? Yeah. And what's it going for?
I didn't look up the price because I wanted to steer clear of it. But
I think
some other news is Kenneth Branagh has announced that they are making more Thor pictures, but he does not know if he's going to be involved with them.
Yeah.
They haven't talked to him at all about that.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I'm really looking forward to Thor next week, so I'm going to go see it on IMAX. It's coming out a week from Friday.
Huh.
Yeah.
Glad to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too. Yeah. I'll be going to a late show on Friday. So.
I should go to a late show also.
Exactly. Well, you know all those, you know how Hollywood's in reboot craziness right now?
What?
I know. It's kind of strange. They want to reboot Zorro. Have you guys heard about this?
I did.
No.
Who snorted what off the back of a Thai prostitute to get this idea off the board? 24 Frames, the company 24 Frames, has posted some unconfirmed details about a possible Zorro reboot at 20th Century Fox that will reportedly be titled Zorro Reborn. The site says that pre-visualization expert Ripin Suwanath, who did X-Men and the Narnia films and Superman Returns, will direct from a script by Lee Shipman and Brian McGreevy, the duo behind Warner Brothers' upcoming Dracula film Harker. The report says that the film would remove Zorro from the historical California or Mexico setting, and that film would take place in a desolate and post-apocalyptic future.
Neat.
In this version, they said, "In this version, Zorro will be less a cape crusader for justice than a one-man vigilante force bent on revenge." In a Western story that has echoes of both Sergio Leone and No Country for Old Men.
Wow, that's,
why?
Why? I mean, why Zorro?
Well,
I mean, fuck, let's do that with Tarzan.
He's public domain, I guess.
So it's Tarzan. I mean, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a cool movie if it wasn't Zorro.
I know.
I mean, why Zorro, huh?
I just want to know who came up with this plan. And who needs to be fired?
I think that's kind of, wow. I mean,
Yeah, let's, right, anyway.
Yeah.
Terminator news.
I saw that.
Schwarzenegger is going to be back as the Terminator with Fast Five director Justin Lin going to direct it.
With that package deal.
With a package deal, yes. They're shopping around a package right now to various studios they're asking $25 million up front for the purchase price of $36 million, not including Schwarzenegger or Lin's fees.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, because that would buy about 30 seconds of Schwarzenegger's time, I'm sure. You know, in between him doing Governator
episodes. Sure, I mean, he's going to be really busy with that.
Yeah. The interesting thing I spotted in this was that Deadline's reporting that both companies and Universal are looking at the package and that they'd have to get another Terminator movie going by 2018 before the rights return to James Cameron.
Right. I saw that, too.
So that's the interesting part I saw. It's like, we know they're doing another Terminator, but apparently the rights go back to James Cameron in 2018. So, you know, maybe.
They also said something like, you know, it isn't as simple as it just flat out reverting to him. But, you know, he'd have to do some paperwork or something So. That's pretty cool.
That's good.
Dark Knight Rises is shooting in India.
I saw that. Do you see also that the Lord of the Rings extended editions are coming back to theaters one night only at AMC this June?
Why?
The extended versions, mind you.
Oh.
The Fellowship of the Ring is going to screen on Tuesday, June 14th, with Two Towers 1 week later, and on
because
June
that's 23rd. How long the first one is.
Yes, it's 1 week. June 21st, The Return of the King on the 28th.
Yeah.
Each film will screen for one night only at AMC theaters. While it hasn't been confirmed yet, they're hearing that it's going to be digital versions of the movie with a ticket price of $12.50 a show. Which, all things considered, $12.50 isn't horrible.
No, that isn't bad. I mean, that's about a 3D price. I only mean...
It's almost the price of buying the DVDs themselves now, though.
That's true.
Now, are those the extended versions on Blu-ray yet?
I don't know.
Because I think only the theatrical ones are.
I know that something Lord of the Rings is on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's extended or not. No, I mean, the reason I say why, you know, I don't have a problem with those, but they just fucking came out. Mm-hmm. And it's not like The Hobbit's coming out then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was just kind of curious why they weren't releasing it closer to The Hobbit.
Yeah. And The Avengers started shooting last Monday.
Yep.
Yes. With Joss Whedon asking everyone to wish him luck.
Good luck, Joss Whedon.
And the picture that they released was of the four chairs.
Yeah, like, with Iron Man, Hulk. I actually thought that was kind of
the thing that I noticed from it is Tom Hiddleston, who's Loki, and Stellan Skarsgård, who's Professor Eric Selvig from the Thor movie, are listed. They're going to be in the Avengers.
Cool.
And of course, Avengers is supposed to come out on May
4th,
2012. Neat. I'm looking forward to that. And Jeremy Renner from that is getting a lot of work. He looks like he's landed the role in the new Bourne Legacy.
Saw that
movie.
He's not actually playing Jason Bourne.
No, he's playing a new undisclosed government operative who has come out of a program even more dangerous than the one that spawned Jason Bourne. Begins production in September. I like the Bourne movies.
I could take them or leave them. I mean, they're some of those movies that I nothing.
I'm glad that this one isn't based on the novel The Bourne Legacy, which is terrible. But it's Ludlum only wrote three of the three novels before he died, so the new guy is awful.
That's too bad.
You know, SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, they're closing down because of the because
they found them.
The global financial crisis, citing lack of funds, astronomers at SETI Institute in California have closed down the Allen Telescope Array. The 42 telescope array has been searching the skies for tiny stray signals since 2007. And they were just preparing to point their ears towards the new planets recently identified by NASA's Kepler mission. Operating the array costs about $1.5 million a year.
Is that all?
Which works out to about half a penny per U.S. citizen.
Huh. I figured it'd be a lot more expensive than that.
And, you know, it's SETI.
Sure. That's too bad. I mean, we always need to find some aliens.
Did you hear about the typewriter?
What about it?
The last typewriter factory in the world has stopped making new typewriters. They only have 500 left in stock.
Like old school,
mm-hmm.
like the keyboards that don't have
yep.
The
Godrej and Boyce factory in Mumbai, India, stopped making them in 2009, have been selling from inventory since then. 20 years ago, they'd sell 50,000 a year, and recently that number has been more like 800. So they still sell them.
800,000?
800.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That's too bad.
You know, joins the...
But that means there's a lot of fucking typewriters out there that mm-hmm. you can go and get off of eBay or something.
I just found it amusing that they were still selling typewriters, but apparently... What,
still making word processors?
They're saying sales of typewriters started in 1867 and now have gone through 2011.
Neat. That's kind of cool. It's too bad that they're... I mean that's like one of those things that is kind of neat if it was still there. You know, even if, you know, some huge company that makes other stuff is producing mm-hmm. them, it'd be nice if they're still there, but... I haven't bought a typewriter.
Warner Brothers has authorized an extra $9 million to put into the already $45 million digital effects budget for Green Lantern.
The first one?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that coming out in like 6 weeks or something mm-hmm. like that?
That pushes the total budget for the movie over $200 million.
Neat. That's an expensive-ass movie. So that must mean that they...
They're really banking on that, on Green Lantern. And I'm looking forward to Green Lantern.
I am too.
It better not suck, or else it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's gonna suck. I mean, it just looks like it's gonna be fun.
What do you think, John?
It's gonna suck,
I know
John?
You're looking forward to it too. So I mean,
I am looking forward to it, but it's like it better not suck because yeah. that'll be bad.
Because it is definitely for me. It's one of those movies that looks like it could be a lot of fun, or it could just fail miserably.
I almost want it to suck so I can listen to the Bagged and Bored cast and hear Paul. I almost want it to suck for that reason.
Yeah.
But damn, I don't
yeah, but
want it
Paul
to suck.
Paul would have to go see the movie to...
Well,
that's true. Is he not going to go see it?
He'll go see the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
He's barely seen any of our movie fixes.
Yeah.
Did he see Jonah Hex?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, come on. If he saw that, he better go see something.
I'll buy his damn ticket if that's the problem. We'll get him in for free.
No, he is looking forward to this. We're all big Green Lantern fans on the Bagged and Boardcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, I ordered and should be getting relatively soon the Green Lantern Rebirth trade, and I hope to read that soon.
So. I love that. I love that book. That's so cool.
You know they're making an Akira live-action movie.
Yeah, that's been in works forever, though.
Yeah, the Hughes brothers.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently they're in some hot water because not only the Hughes brothers have reset the movie in New York rather than in Tokyo, but they're getting some... They're getting some bad attention for considering lead actors Robert Pattinson, Andrew Garfield, James McAvoy, Garrett Hedlund, Michael Fassbender, Chris Pine, Justin Timberlake, and Joaquin Phoenix.
Didn't they learn anything from the fucking Airbender movie?
And there are a lot of people pissed off they're not looking at Asian actors.
Yeah, I can see that.
I hated Akira, so I really don't care.
I didn't hate Akira, but I don't. I just don't care.
And two episodes ago, we talked about The Crow.
We did.
We did. But apparently, there's a lawsuit over the movie rights to it that alleges that the Weinstein Company, not Relativity Media, who is actively trying to make a new Crow movie, has the sole rights to develop the movie and seeks to stop them from selling the rights to anyone else. So now there's a lawsuit. So we'll see what happens with the Crow.
With the Akira movie, one of the big people who are trying to fight it is George Takei.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We love George Takei. At least I do.
We need to get him.
He's
into
been
Ruth
blogging about it, and he's also forming some
George Takei
big petitions, getting a lot of fan base behind it.
Well, he's George Takei. Have you seen the douchebag video he did? That was hysterical.
I just saw him on Third Rock from the Sun.
He did a video for that. What is for the, for the Trevor Project? Whether it gets better. It's the thing about talking about teen bullying and all that stuff. Or he did one where he called people douchebag, and it was hysterical because it's George Takei calling people a douchebag. Just do a search for YouTube, George Takei douchebag. It's hysterical.
I will check it out.
Then I've just got a bunch of little things after this, so you know, unless you got something.
I got one big last news thing, and then we're moving on. Unless you want your other stuff.
We could do it real quick. They released a picture of Tom Hardy from the Dark Knight Rises set.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's huge.
Yeah, what
My
the
God.
Fuck? Did he like?
Did you see that, John?
Did he like eat Christian Bale? He got
good
gigantic.
God. I mean, I remember, you know, in Inception, he's, you know, it's okay, you know, average size, smaller guy. And this, holy crap!
Yeah, it looks like he ate Jeep Swenson or something.
I know. I mean,
They hired
these actors just for him to eat them.
To
get that protein.
Yeah, they hired Joseph Gordon-Levitt for protein.
Eat him. Oh
my God.
Yeah, well, he did that. He did a movie about 5 years ago where he got huge.
Same thing with The Warrior.
British criminal.
Okay.
That's probably why he's partially huge, because he just did The Warrior. It's that boxing movie that's coming out.
Okay.
Which I would not be surprised in the least if he gets an Oscar nomination for, because it just strikes me as Oscar bait.
Sure.
But, you know.
Hey, John, have you ever done any hero clicks at all?
Yes, the Bagged and Board cast, we're huge into hero clicks.
That's good.
A long time ago.
I can't find anyone around here to play with me. So, hero clicks, of course, was bought out by I think it was NECA, who restarted WizKids. They said later this year they're putting out Gears of War and Street Fighter hero clicks this year.
Cool.
Well, I can see Street Fighter to some capacity, but Gears of War.
They've released images of the Street Fighter ones, and they look like they're straight out of the, you know, the arcade style game. So I mean, you know, Chun-Li, all that crazy stuff. So you can have Chun-Li going up against you know, Batman and you know,
Chun-Li against Batman.
Batman all the way.
Chun-Li against Galactus.
and the other little bit I got is Peter Jackson confirmed that Ian Holm is going to be returning for The Hobbit as old Bilbo.
Bilbo-itch or the older, or like the not quite that.
No, old. As Bilbo.
Yeah. That like older Bilbo.
Yes, older Bilbo.
But you know, I mean like at the end of Return of the King Bilbo or which Bilbo-itch.
And have you seen the new trailer for the X-Men First Class yet?
No.
Yeah, it's still.
I gave
looks,
up for
looks
it.
Very terrifying.
I'll see it, but I've given
I
up.
I hear there's that. More talking in it.
Oh, no. Why are they talking?
Yeah.
Why
are they letting James McAvoy do anything in that movie?
He was so great and Wanted.
and that's a movie I enjoyed, so hey, you know, whatever. I never read the comic at all, so I got nothing.
I liked Equilibrium better.
Equilibrium was badass.
No, I don't know about that, but it was better than that.
Yeah, and have you seen that trailer for Immortals?
No.
It looks like if Zack Snyder did Clash of the Titans.
Oh God.
Only reason I bring it up is because Superman's in it.
Superman's in the Immortals trailer?
But yeah, Henry Cavill.
Oh, I thought you meant like actually Superman.
No,
sorry, I'm distracted by the cat meow.
If you watched the Have either of you guys seen the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon from the 80s?
Yeah, this show is awesome.
John?
Yeah.
Okay, you remember the guy with the bow and arrow?
Vaguely.
Okay, it was just a bow, and it fired like energy bolts, right?
Yep.
Okay, that bow is in the Immortals trailer.
Cool.
And it's like, dude, that's awesome. I want to see it just for that.
I need one of those.
That is cool.
All right. Well, that is all the news I've got.
Well, the last news, and it's the big news of the night, is the fact that Ethan got engaged.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
When was that?
I got engaged.
To be married.
To be married.
When was that?
It was about 2 weeks ago. Let me get
you really have to check your engagement date, you know,
the 16th. April 16th.
April 16th. We didn't talk about
just
it last
after
week.
Just the Ides of April, what can I say?
We were going to talk about it last week. I actually asked his fiance Beth, if she wanted to say anything, and she said she did, but she didn't have time to write it up. So I put it off a week, which is fine, because I ended up throwing up like all the way through last show, and it was not cool. And I asked her to write a letter so that I can read on the air and embarrass the shit out of him. So here,
this will work. Yeah.
Yeah. So this it goes.
I'm glad I'm here for this.
Yeah. Do you want to like maybe go elsewhere or? No. It's basically it's yeah. Okay. It says, "Dear Ethan, there's so much to say to you, and finding the right words is difficult. I know you understand this dilemma. Aaron asked me about a week ago to write a letter for you so you can read on the air for the Pink Phone Zone, and I have been trying to find the right things to say. I don't want this to be too embarrassing for you, so I guess I will share our engagement. Well, through my eyes, as through yours, I am sure the event is a little different. So I have known for a while that you would pop the question, but I was not expecting you to do it for several more months. So this came as a complete surprise, which I suppose was the goal. When that microphone appeared out of nowhere and you started talking to it and asked me to dance with you, well, I got all jittery and nervous and excited, but I still did not really think it was going to happen that night. Then the music stopped and you asked me to marry you. Well, let's just say that that was the moment I will never forget. I only hope my asking you if you were going to propose during our dance did not ruin the moment for you. What the fuck, Beth? But whatever.
I couldn't lie to her at that point, you know.
I was like, well, I might. And she says, you promised to never lie to me or to make a promise you cannot keep. You are an honorable man, and I am the luckiest woman in the world to have you as my fiancé. And in time, my husband. So now, Snuggle Wumpus, enjoy the rest of your podcast. I will see you tomorrow afternoon. With love, your sweet Babu. I want to say congratulations, Ethan. I've known several of your girlfriends. I think she's the best, and I thought since...
So do I, obviously.
Well, I hope so, but I really like her, and congratulations. I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So congratulations to Beth and Ethan, and they're going to get married at Disney World or something like that. I don't know.
Well, no, actually, we're looking at Kansas City now, so I mean...
That's a little closer.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
Poor bastard.
All I can tell you is right after I asked her, she was bum rushed by about 60 sorority girls there. I got the fuck out of the way. So
yeah.
My life flashed before my eyes and I didn't want to get stampeded. So there was some shoving. They like shoved me out of the way to get to her. It was kind of amusing.
Get the fuck out of my way. Yay!
I just found it amusing. Several of the other boyfriends there were pissed at me because I, quote, set the bar too high. And my response was, I don't give a fuck.
Well,
Your problem is not mine, so I don't care.
Yeah, but how old are they? Six? You got to get moving on
probably
this shit.
Like something like five and a half.
I don't know. They're kids.
Might be as old as seven.
But yeah. Well,
but thank you. Thank you.
I think that's cool. And
we're looking at 2013, and we're looking at...
What about the world coming to an end?
Well, then we're screwed. Yeah. And we're looking at several of the older movie theaters
in a movie theater.
Several of the old theaters, like the Midland or the Mission Theater up in Kansas City. So,
okay, cool. Just let me. Tell me day before, I'll be there.
We'll let you know.
Okay.
But yes, there we go. There is my news.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to put an end to Geekly Happenings. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Ruth Oz.
Right, starts out okay, ends up in a fight now, every
are back. That was a fun little geeky happenings. But yeah, now we're going to get down to business. This is a special edition Ruthaz show, the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthaz. Basically what we do is we decide who needs to be allowed to put fucking in their name.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody is that damn awesome deserves to be called Christopher fucking Lee or Stan the Man fucking Lee. Or, I can never do that right.
Stan the fucking Man Lee.
It
will work if we have the man in there.
Yeah. Stan the Man fucking Lee.
Because then it's Stan the Man fucking or Stan fucking the Man Lee. It just is awkward and wrong. The fucking Man Lee isn't awkward, but you know, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Or Kurt fucking Russell. But somebody
Or Liam fucking Neeson.
Or Liam the fucking Neeson. Or Clint fucking Eastwood. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, we might as well,
Clint
say all.
Clint fucking Eastwood just rolls off the tongue.
Clint fucking Eastwood, yeah.
I mean, really.
But yeah, on Bang to Boardcast, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago? Something like that. We did our
couple weeks, yeah.
You know, I don't know, one yesterday. But in the past, on the Bag to Boardcast, we did our nomination show, which we all chose a nominee. I chose Sean Connery. Ethan chose Jeffrey Rush. John, did you choose Joss Whedon?
Yeah, I chose Joss Whedon.
And then Chris grabbed John Goodman. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go in order on the site, and we're just going to talk a little bit about these gentlemen. Once we're done, we're going to say who the winner is, and then keep moving. And then I guess we'll just say goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
So if I remember right, on the site, the first one is Jeffrey Rush. That's your nominee. Why don't you open us up, Ethan?
Well, just a little background. Jeffrey Rush was born in Toowoomba, Queensland, Australia. He's an Australian actor, obviously. He's one of only 25 people to have won the Triple Crown Award of Acting, an Academy Award for Shine in 1996, a Tony Award for Exit the King on Broadway in 2009, and an Emmy Award for The Life and Death of Peter Sellers in 2004.
That was really good. I don't know if you saw that.
I have not seen that.
That was really good.
He did a great job in that.
Yeah.
He's been nominated for 4 Academy Awards and won once for Shine, obviously. He's been nominated for 5 BAFTA Awards, winning 3 times, and also won 2 Golden Globe Awards and 3 Screen Actors Guild Awards.
What did he win his second Golden Globe for? I know he won for Shine, and what else?
Let me go to my Golden Globes. He won Golden Globe for in 97 for Shine, won one for a...
Oh, he won it for The Life and Death of Peter Sellers.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, and then obviously won for, I believe he won for...
Shine?
Shine. That, and I want to say King's Speech? Yeah.
Golden Globe? No, Christian Bale won that Golden Globe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it had to have been Life and Death of Peter Sellers and Shine. But mm-hmm. That's okay. Keep moving. Sorry.
It's all good.
I didn't mean to derail us.
It's all good. He is, an amazing actor. And like I said, when I nominated him, he's a guy that every time you see that he's going to be in a movie or on stage or in a TV series or whatever, or even a TV movie, that you know you're gonna get a treat. You're gonna see a consummate actor just doing wonderful things with his craft. This is a guy that does some movies that are just entirely there for his benefit. I mean, he did The House on Haunted Hill and did this great rendition of his version of Vincent Price.
Yeah.
He did he's done these great sweeping dramas. I mean, he's done Elizabeth, he did Shine, he did Quills, he did all these, and
he was awesome in, well, he was awesome in Quills, but he was awesome in Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
He's a psychotic bastard in that movie.
And I've always said, like, you know, turn the clock back, you know, a good 10-15 years, he would have been perfect for Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Especially if you've read that Neil Gaiman's 1602. The Doctor Strange in that, I was just like, just thinking of his character from Elizabeth and just going, oh,
yeah,
I just want, you know, give him the Eye of Agamotto.
What were we going to say, John?
His portrayal of the detective in Les Miserables is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll blow you away. He's like the best part of that movie.
He has the ability to do a character that is extremely likable and lovable, like in King's Speech, you know, that you're just like, I like this guy. And then turns around and does a character that is just repulsive and
like the Marquis de Sade.
Yeah, like the Marquis de Sade, which you're like, ee. And then he can do these just sinister villains, you know. Yeah. I mean, he's just one of those actors, I think, that every time you see him, you're seeing him do amazing, amazing work. Like, I had no idea that he'd won a Tony Award.
I'm not surprised.
I know that he does. I know that he did stage work. I know he does stage stuff. But I didn't know he'd been on Broadway and things like that. And you know, it's an amazing, amazing achievement. The guy has an honorary doctorate of letters from the University of Queensland in Australia. He has an Australian Centenary Medal in 2001 Queen's New Year's Honours List for his services to the arts, especially through a distinguished acting career. He has countless awards. I tried to go down and count like how many awards he's won, and it just got kind of the list goes on and on. It's longer than my arm. But he's won awards from the Australian Film Institute, obviously the BAFTAs, Golden Globes. And his first film that he did was an Australian movie called Hoodwink in 1981. And
he's won a total of 33 acting awards and 42 total nominations.
And you know, he does movies like the
Mystery Men.
Yeah, Mystery Men. Yeah, where he's casting over Frankenstein, which is obviously, it's like, not an Oscar-winning, not an Oscar-worthy role, but you know, you can see he's having fun.
Yeah,
he knows
it's one of his best villains. Come on,
I love him.
He's not an actor that just does, I want to do these serious dramas. Like, no, I want to do a role that is fun or is interesting to me. So he does his King's Speech, he does his Elizabeth, but then he goes and does Mystery Men, or he goes and does the Pirates of the Caribbean, just because it's like, you know, I like to
be a pirate.
And it'll be cool to do this stuff. And he just sort of strikes me as a big geek. I mean, he showed up to some award ceremony with the monkey on his shoulder, you know? I mean, and I just dig that kind of an attitude of, you know, I'm just having fun. I'm doing what I love. And this guy just happens to be fantastic at it. And that is why I think he should be the newest member of the Zone of Ruth House.
You like Jeffrey Rush, John?
Oh, I love him. I was ecstatic when I heard he was going to be Tomare.
Yeah.
Like, I was that's perfect.
You can hear him in the new trailer.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic actor. The only thing I have against him is, like, what we mentioned a lot with our nominees is it's not often that he gets a role that he can really sink his teeth into and show his stuff. But, I mean, he's got a great list of credits to him that he's put in these amazing performances.
I'd say some of the performances I see him excel in, it just seems so, he has this natural way of coming across, is that he's not even acting. He's not trying, but he's that, I just think that just means he's that good.
This is like by far a great testament to his acting ability, but I noticed when he did, I think it was the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, he did, you know, the stereotypical, you know, pirate, arr! And it was actually convincing. That's the only time I've ever heard a pirate do that in a movie where I can see why he would do it.
Right.
And he pulled it off, and I'm like, damn, that's good acting, because I don't know. I love Jeffrey Rush. Go ahead, John.
Even in the Pirates movie, I mean, Barbossa's supposed to be the bad guy, but you don't think of him that way. You know, you still like his character. You want to see more of him. Yeah, he's a bad guy, but he's still got that likability that Jeffrey Rush always brings to the screen.
I just think, yeah, he's just one of those fantastic actors that needs to work more. I mean, plain and simply. You know, he's not going to... Yeah, I am looking forward to him in the new Pirates movie as well. I mean, I know that that's probably not going to be the greatest movie ever made, but it's more Jeffrey Rush, so, I mean, you can't beat it.
Exactly.
So I think he's a fantastic nominee for The Zone of Ruth Oz.
All right.
So let's move right on to our second nominee, which would be Mr. Joss Whedon. What do you got to say about him, John?
Like always, when I've been on the show to do these, all the nominees really deserve this. And I think if you're going to do a podcast it's a pop culture one, this guy is in the center of pop culture. He, with his TV work, with the movies, with the comic books, he's constantly got his finger on the pulse. And he's got these fantastic TV shows that, like Firefly, the fans demanded a movie, and a few years later, we got it due to their insistence on getting a movie. And not only that, he finishes off the series with comic books. He keeps writing everything that he's done. Buffy is in season 11 in comic books. Angel, Angel's actually coming back to Dark Horse Comics. You know, they've gotten the rights back so that he has more control over it. Firefly, Dollhouse coming out in comic books. He keeps finishing off his series that don't make it on TV because he keeps going to Fox, who don't give him a chance. But he just keeps on moving, and the nerd crowd just love him.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Dr. Horrible?
Dr. Horrible
sing-along blog. I mean, how huge was that?
Gigantic.
And now you also have him, you have him doing one of the big things is the Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
Writing and directing. And, of course, this guy knows how to do an ensemble cast. So, of course, he's the perfect choice for the movie. You know, and if you want to break it down, he's the third generation TV screenwriter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
His father and his grandfather doing it. His comic book repertoire, Runaways, is considered a classic run. His Astonishing mm-hmm. X-Men is what people go, oh, yeah, X-Men is great because of Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men.
Like you guys mentioned on your show that you stopped reading X-Men for the longest time, and then that came out, and you all read that, and then you went back to not reading X-Men, but... that was the same way for me. I got burnt out on X-Men back in the 90s, and that came out, and I was like, I want to read this, and it was good.
Oh, it was fantastic.
He definitely is a guy that goes across mediums really well, and you can tell that he, sort of like Quentin Tarantino, is he loves what he does. He loves the fans,
mm-hmm.
and because he knows, he realizes that, I mean, the fans are what puts him in places, basically. I mean, it's arguably the fans are the reason he is directing Avengers, you know? Not just he can work well with an ensemble cast. He knows good writing. He knows good character. He knows good storytelling. He's a fantastic asset to anything. And it's sort of a no brainer for him to do a comic book movie in general, let alone the Avengers.
Right.
And, also, wrote the screenplay to Toy Story, which every time I see mm-hmm. it, I'm always quite surprised about.
Yeah, and he wrote the screenplay, rewrote the screenplay for the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean,
yeah,
really, he comes into a project and he's has no qualms about making it his own and doing what he can to make it as fan friendly as possible and making it as just something that people can latch onto and adore, because that really sort of sums up what the fans of Firefly are. Is they don't love Firefly, they adore it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same thing with the Buffy fans.
I mean,
they go above and beyond for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he is there. He's not afraid to go to different mediums and try things. He's not just, well, I only work in TV or only work in movies. He goes, well, no, I mean, you know, seven seasons of Buffy, and then he moves over and helps out with the comic books.
I did not know he co-wrote the first Avenger.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
huh, cool.
Yeah, he has a history of a lot of script fixing and stuff
script
like that.
Script doctoring. It looked like he worked on Speed, Waterworld, mm-hmm. Alien Resurrection.
He wrote the original script for Alien Resurrection.
Right.
Which makes me wonder what the original script was.
Yeah.
Because that movie got butchered, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it could also have been, you know, he just churned it out type of thing, and just because. Just because he's great doesn't mean he's great all the time.
Sure, I mean, he
doesn't seem like the guy that just turns stuff out. I forget what movie it was, but they came to him. I think it was
X-Men.
Superman. Super. Was it X-Men?
He did. Are you talking about where he pretty much wrote all the?
Yeah, they wanted him to punch up stuff and add jokes, and he ended up rewriting the whole script, mm-hmm. and they ended up just throwing it out and just being like, "Nah, we wanted to add a couple jokes here and there."
Yeah, he did that in X-Men. I think I read that.
Yeah. It sounds like, I mean, especially lately, he's in the last couple of years, he's really sort of come around. A lot of people know, a lot of people recognize his name, and a lot of people recognize his
involvement. The way I see it, I mean, even if he doesn't win Ruth Oz tonight, I mean, there's such a word out there as the Whedonverse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that's a bigger testament to your work than, you know, being able to say Joss fucking Whedon, you know, no matter how you look at it.
And he's capable of befriending these actors who just really, you know, these actors who... Otherwise, it'd be, well, they're just actors. Like, well, no, they actually become part of this Whedon family. I mean, no one can argue that Nathan Fillion isn't Nathan Fillion. Oh, gosh, she's in The Guild. She's Penny in the Dr. Horrible. You guys know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is escaping me right now. But it's all right. Felicia Day. That's it.
There you go.
Felicia Day. Even all you know, any actors he's worked with, you know, are seem to be very open to coming back and working with him again.
Yeah,
and that's always fun to see. And he's not afraid to use new actors and unknown actors and people who he thinks are right for the role. And he's fun. It's a fun guy.
Yeah, I agree. I know that I'm probably, you know, and I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm probably the smallest Buffy fan in this little circle. I mean, I like Buffy a lot, but like between, I know like Chris lives and breathes and dies fucking Buffy, and Rachel loves Buffy. And you're recent, speaking of which, I need to grab that DVD for you before you leave the season 8 motion comic. But you just recently started looking at Buffy and really enjoying it. And I like what I've seen. I just haven't sat down and watched all of it yet.
Well, I think the great thing about Whedon's writing and Whedon's stuff is he doesn't assume you're an idiot.
No.
And he doesn't really care if you don't get a joke.
Right.
But the thing about his writing is you don't need to get the joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's still good otherwise. So
cool.
He's a good choice.
I agree.
A good choice for Ruth Ozen, one that I didn't think of, but, you know, again, I think all the nominees this time are real good.
Yeah, so. It's a bitch to pick one of them this time around. I'm glad I stopped voting.
Everyone I've put the word out saying, hey, go vote. Everyone does. Oh, man.
You assholes.
I don't know who to vote. Fuck.
Yeah. Now, moving on, we have to do something a little bit different this time around because we get to our third nominee, John Goodman. He is, he was Chris from the Bagging Boardcast nominee. He's not here tonight to represent him. So I guess we're all three just going to have to jump in and talk about John Goodman. I can't talk John Goodman without the first thing out of my mind and out of my mouth is Roseanne. I cannot do it. I recently rewatched all of Roseanne on Netflix because it's all up on Netflix now. And I...
Speaking of Joss Whedon, he
also...
did a lot of work on Roseanne.
Didn't do a lot. He did some.
Did some work on Roseanne.
Yeah, he did.
He wrote a few episodes.
Yeah.
And he started working as a runner and a producer.
He was like the one that made Darlene and David, you know, comic book nerds, stuff like that. Ooh, who the hell is that? But, I recently rewatched Roseanne, and I discovered that I think it might be my favorite television show ever. I mean, I grew up watching that show.
I never really watched it that much.
I did. And it also really reminds me of my family growing up, like the middle class, sometimes lower middle class, and the blue collar working father and, you know, like the matriarch kind of running things. It was like the way that I grew up. And to those of you that haven't watched Roseanne, John Goodman was hardly at all in the final season. He was in it. He wasn't in about half of it, a little bit less than half. And the show suffered because of it. I mean, and I...
That's maybe why it was the last season.
Well, yes and no, and I don't... It had a good run. I mean, but the last season was just not very good. And I discovered watching it that, you know, the thing that made me love that show was John Goodman, was the character of Dan Connor. And, you know, he was like the heart and soul of that show because, you know, Roseanne's always on there yelling and screaming and acting like an idiot. And he's like the, you know, he's the big lovable guy that's there that...
He was the big teddy bear.
He was the big teddy bear. And, you know, he could be, you know, but he could also, you know, rip your head off if need be. And, you know, he was the anchor of that show. And I loved him in that. And then next thing that comes in my mind when I think John Goodman, and maybe ought to be the first thing in my mind, is the Coen brothers. His many, many collaborations with the Coen brothers. I watched him in just recently, again, in Raising Arizona. He cracked me up in that movie. Have you guys seen that movie?
Oh, of course. I grew up watching that movie.
It's been a while since I saw it, but yeah.
The part where him and What's-His-Face come out of the ground screaming never fails to get a huge laugh out of me. He was great. No Brother, Where Art Thou? Barton,
shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. The Big Lebowski. You know,
I need to rewatch that. I didn't like it when I saw it. I need to see it again.
I don't think you like it. It's just a little bit too wacky for your taste. I mean, what do you guys have to say about John Goodman?
You know, John Goodman is just
he never phones it in.
No.
The guy always delivers 110%. And I mean, if you just think about the different roles that he's taken too, like, yeah, his Coen brother stuff, Raising Arizona, but you think he was the bad coach in Revenge of the Nerds.
And he, what was that movie where he was the king?
King Ralph.
King Ralph.
I like King Ralph. I haven't thought about that movie in 20 years. But yeah, that was a funny movie.
Arachnophobia.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
He was he's the exterminator, or Monsters Inc. You know,
he was Fred in the Flintstones. You know, mm-hmm. Of course he is. You know,
yeah. Of course he played Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth. His role in Matinee.
Yeah.
And I actually, it was so funny as I was just having a conversation with my dad. I forget what we were talking about, but all of a sudden he starts bringing up The Emperor's New Groove and talking about how great it was. And he's like, John Goodman's, he's great in that.
John Goodman was in The Emperor's New Groove?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Who the hell was he in
that? The guy who's helping out the llama.
Who, Kronk?
No. Oh, and he was in The Hudsucker Proxy.
I love The Hudsucker Proxy. He was barely in that.
Even thinking about it,
you're right, he was in The Emperor's New Groove. He was Pacha.
And he's one of those actors that, despite, I mean, he's been in bad movies. I mean, we can say that pretty much about everyone in this, but I mean, he's been in some dogs.
He's made, I think it's like 150 movies listed on IMDb, and
The Borrowers.
A good portion of those are pretty bad B movies, but,
mm-hmm. But
I bet if you watch him, you're going to see a great performance.
But like you said, I mean, no matter the movie, he's not afraid to come in and do his, give it his all. He doesn't phone it in. He doesn't, it's like, this is a crappy script, crappy movie, so I'm just going to do a crappy job. I'm just going to do the job and get out. He comes in and he puts his heart and soul into it and does it.
Fallen. I'm waiting for his HBO series, Treme, to come out on DVD because from what I hear, it's supposed to be fantastic. And his performance is supposed to be great in it.
Nice. And looks like he's going to be in Red State.
Yep.
Nice.
He's an FBI agent in Red State. I'm just kind of looking at his work.
Yeah.
And,
he's
going to
be Paul Bunyan.
Even his work on the West Wing, you know, he's, his resume is just, it's all over the place and he can pull off any role.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you know, he was like creepy as shit in Fallen, that Denzel Washington movie. Yeah.
It switches because he plays the nice friend.
Plays the nice friend, and then he gets possessed, and he's...
Yeah, yeah. That's when he's called
and
creepy.
He pulls off that bad guy great in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he is one of those actors that, I mean, his resume is all across the board. You know, serious dramas to screwball comedies to animated, you know, children's movies and all that stuff. He is one of those guys that's done just a ton of stuff.
And the one thing you can't leave out is his work on Saturday Night Live.
That's true.
He was awesome on... He was like the... What is it, the Eight Timers Club or whatever it was called? Yeah. That was hilarious.
And of course, you know...
great singer and dancer.
Yeah, he can sing and dance. You know, Blues Brothers 2000, not a great movie, but the music is excellent in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, he's just one of those guys who just does I agree with you, John. He just does a good job and gives it his all.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, like Jeffrey Rush, he always puts... everything he's got into a role.
Definitely,
he doesn't know how not to.
Definitely an underappreciated actor, I think.
I agree, but I very much so appreciate him.
All right, now we're on to... Are we on to...
I guess we're going to be moving on to Sir Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sean Connery.
He's Sean Connery. I mean, what else?
He's done. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, he's Sir Sean Connery. I mean,
he was the original Bond.
He was kind of the original James Bond. He was, you know, Henry Jones Sr. He was. Uh-huh. I just, you know, you look at his
bring a knife to a gunfight,
just like a WAP bring a knife. To a gunfight. And I just recently rewatched The Untouchables. And damn, that was good.
I love it. Maybe.
Yeah. Marnie, A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
He's done so many good movies.
Yeah, I mean,
so many memorable roles.
He's just somebody that you put in a movie, and it's better for it, almost. I mean, you know, oh my God, Sean Connery's in that? I wonder what's up with that. Oh. I'm going to check it out. You know,
and he can sing and dance.
Just
watch Darby O'Gill and Little People.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. What can we say about Sean Connery?
Here's one thing you can say about him. For 40 years, he consistently worked.
Yeah.
From the 60s all the way till 2003 when he finally, quote unquote, retired and then a little did some voice work a little later after that.
1954 the guy was through in, 2006 was his years active.
Just consistently worked.
Yeah, I mean he's, man, are we selling him short? He's a living legend. He's a knight. He was, like I think I said it last time, he was voted the sexiest man of the century by People Magazine in the sexiest man alive thing. I mean, he was a living sex legend pretty much because of James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Mr. Universe.
Mr. Universe, that's right. He was a bodybuilder in his early days. He used to work as a milk truck driver. He's lived an incredible life. And I've actually been looking into his health recently because at one point I'd heard that he had had prostate cancer, and I don't know if what's going on with that, but I can't find anything else about it. But I did find out that he is officially retired from even making public appearances, meaning he wouldn't show up at the Oscars or, you know, he won't do a interview for, you know, a James Bond DVD or something like that. And I don't think that can really bode well because, I mean, a lot of times that happens with people when they're, you know, they're getting ill, and he is 80 years old, and he's lived himself a rough life. But, I mean, I love Sean Connery, and I gladly chose him as my nominee. I mean, do you guys have anything else to say about him? I don't ever like putting these together. You know, I mean, I don't ever like, you know, putting together what I want to say about him because I just think that they speak for themselves, which is why we nominate them because, you know, a Sean fucking Connery movie is a Sean fucking Connery movie. So, I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, what else you got to say about him, John?
You know, a fantastic actor. I mean, I can just pull out a couple of great movies that he's been in that are some of my favorites. The Great Train Robbery, Time Bandits, The Man That Would Be King.
Robin and Marion.
Yeah. In the Name of the Rose.
Indiana Jones.
Zardoz.
Even the Highlander stuff. I love him in the Highlanders.
Yeah.
I don't think anything...
Outland. I really enjoyed Outland.
To finish his career with Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen playing Alan Quartermain, it might not have been a great movie.
No, it was a terrible movie.
But that was a great role to him to finish his career, playing that old adventurer. And I think that's a great way to think of him, is that old adventurer who kind of just... He's riding off to the sunset. He's done. Mm-hmm. He's done his work. Nobody can fault him for retiring.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you'd love to see him in more stuff, but, the guy was in his 70s, almost, I think he was in his 70s doing League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. No, he's 80 now,
You know, it's just, it's sad to see him go and to hear that he's sick, but it's great that we've had him.
Yeah.
And he's in the film community.
He's definitely a film icon. I mean, when you mention James Bond, he's the first person you think of. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is so ingrained in film culture and pop culture that you know, everyone everywhere will recognize who Sean Connery is.
And they always will.
Mm-hmm. And he's just one of those legends out there, and one of those actors, and one of those people that just crosses all borders, crosses all boundaries, and people love him. I love him. He's great. You know, he's Bond. He's Quartermain. He's all this great stuff.
I don't have anything else to say about him. Anybody else?
No, no. Do we want to take a break and come back with the winner? Or?
Let's do that. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with your newest member of the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthos.
But I sure can lose. I'd don't remember just what you said. I only know that you said it in bed. God damn it, honey. What am I to think? Guess I'll just sit around you and drink. There's only one thing I can do. I have to do it, baby. I have to see it through. I'm gonna stop loving you.
We are back. I guess we're going to be naming the winner of the newest Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthoz. I don't know. I decided I'm going to quit voting because, I don't know, something doesn't seem right about it. But hey, I just nominate him, and I decided that in the event of a tie, I will throw in my vote and I will break the tie if need be. We now have the actual numbers brought up on screen. What's going on, Ethan?
Well, looks like the final tallies are John Goodman, Jeffrey Rush, Sean Connery, and the new inductee would be Joss Whedon.
Excellent.
Joss Whedon with 33.33% of the vote.
Very cool.
Yes, that's very nice.
Good job, John.
Good job.
I know how to pick winners. That's all I have to say.
There you go. Sean Connery beating out Jeffrey Rush just barely with 27% versus 22%, and then John Goodman in last with only 16%. But all things considered, we had a good turnout on this one. So congratulations to the newest inductee.
Mr. Joss fucking Whedon.
Joss fucking Whedon. And you know what? He would probably really appreciate that certificate.
I do think that Sean Connery might pistol whip us if we tried to walk up and give it to him. But I do think that
Jeffrey Rush
would
probably be like, okay.
He'd be like, what the hell is that?
That's good for you, boys.
Good for you, boys. Good for you, boys. Now go back and work at your McDonald's.
But I think Joss Whedon would be like, dude, I'm Joss fucking Whedon.
I'm Joss fucking Whedon. Cool. Okay. Excellent.
You'd see that on IMDb as alternate names. Joss fucking Whedon.
Okay, let's see if we can add that in there.
You can probably add it to Wikipedia.
Well, he's busy now, directing the Avengers, so, we can send him emails, but he does have a blog and whatnot. So, Joss fucking Whedon, congratulations.
Yep,
good
congratulations,
choice, John.
Sir.
Good choice. Some of these nominees might show up again later, but we'll see. There's enough people out there to go around for nomination.
All of these guys deserve to be in there.
I agree.
Excellent.
Especially Sean Connery.
Yes, especially Sean Connery. And I'm not entirely sure what we've got going on next week.
Neither do I.
I honestly don't have the spreadsheet in front of me. And obviously, this week we were supposed to do chick flicks, but obviously we decided to change things up. Had a little cancellation on us and whatnot. But next week we will be doing something, I'm sure. I don't know who our guest is off the top of my head. I neglected to actually look all that stuff up before I came out here. I was too busy trying to, get my chops up with Jeffrey Rush. So, what else we got to say? John, what's going on in Bagged and Boardcast?
Bagged and Boardcast, as always, you can find us on iTunes, baggedandboard.com. Find us on Facebook. I wouldn't bother with our Twitter. We really don't do much with our Twitter, but definitely Facebook, and always check out our new shows on iTunes. Cool. Bagged and Bored.
Excellent. I can definitely say I've been enjoying Bagged and Boardcast for quite some time.
Good
show. For the last several weeks now. So.
Very good show.
I guess with that, we have next week we'll be talking about something with somebody, not a who right now.
With somebody. Some kind of weird-ass movie genre.
Yeah.
Just give me a call last minute, and I'll appear again.
Okay.
We'll do that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This is Aaron.
This is Ethan.
This is John.
Let your geek flag fly.